Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Okay, now it's time for the manga industry to panic. Now it's time to look and say, whoa, things are starting to really look a little bit grim. Not to mention My Hero Academia fans are not going to be happy with what I got to tell you guys is going down with the future of the franchise. A pretty significant series that a lot of people have been waiting for to get an anime is finally going down. Controversy about the amount of actors playing roles in anime. Drama between the unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump Twitter account and Super Eyepatch Wolf over on YouTube. And so much more on this episode of
the only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. We don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it.
Okay, people, so you're going to want to make sure you subscribe before we jump into this story because, yes, as things continue, I'm going to keep on the pulse, giving you guys updates on what's going down in the world of anime and manga. You can always count on Funeva News, so hit that subscribe button, hit that bell, get all notifications. Make sure that you get notified because, yeah, I'm going to give you guys the updates as things progress. But this story right here, you're going to probably be like, yo, Funev, what's going on now, right? Like, I'm continuing on the saga of reporting on how things are changing, how things are going up, things are going down. This one right here, it caught me off guard for a minute because I'm not even gonna lie, one of the biggest things, and I think a lot of you guys can agree with me, that we've been looking at as like, okay, this is going to be the safe haven, this is going to be the outlet for the future of Weekly Shonen Jump magazine, and just in general, even the style that they're going for moving forward with how they release manga, market it, package it, all of that stuff. Stuff like Kaiju number 8, it's crazy, dog, it's doing gangbusters, right? Kaiju number 8 is huge. All of these series that are blowing up out of nowhere really, really quick, it's crazy because most of the time, in case you don't know, usually what happens historically with a manga is it starts off and it continues to build. It goes from, you know, let's just say 5,000 sales, 10,000 sales, 20,000 sales, and then when it gets an anime, it skyrockets even further, and then little by little, towards the end of its life cycle, it starts to kind of fizzle out. It starts to basically go into a decline, so to speak, and then usually, if it had an anime, that's when they'll decide, okay, we're gonna wrap up the anime. Like, that's usually been the process. Now, in case you don't know, it's been obviously changing. They're doing different things. We got stuff like Demon Slayer, where the manga ends and the anime continues, but one of the biggest things is that there's been this really, really fast surgence of series that are popular. They become popular very, very quick. Again, series that are in Shonen Jump Plus have lately just been breaking all the rules. Stuff like Kaiju number 8, Spy Family, a lot of these different series are exploding. And yet, one of the things that I'm noticing, and I didn't realize up until now, is things aren't all up and up as we thought. Because shout out to Jose_Ke over on Twitter for always providing these graphs and this information. Really, really informative dude. You should check him out. He put out a latest update on the sales figures for Kaiju number 8. Kaiju number 8, as of the recording of this video, has, I believe, 6 volumes out in circulation. But it's been a monster, no pun intended, or maybe it was intended subconsciously. I don't freaking know. It's been a monster of sales that each volume is just unbelievable with the sales. And it says here, from what he said, one of the newest Jump Plus hits, Kaiju number 8, this is its evolution, an insane fast rise that I think has led to reach, for the most part, an early sales peak. No doubt the series will continue selling like a monster despite the little down. And I'll be honest with you, looking at it right here, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So it starts off volume 1, a little over 200,000 sales. Off the rip, it's already like, yo, how do you come out the gate swinging that big? Like, that means that a lot of readers really, really were anticipating this because they enjoyed what they read, you know, with the chapters as they were coming out in the magazine over there, you know, Jump Plus, the digital magazine. Then volume 2, the sales literally double. And that's where automatically I'm looking at it like, yo, what is going on here? This is a literal freak of nature. It did over 500,000. And then volume 3 does over 600,000. Volume 4 matches it, almost same amount. But then here's where the problematic aspect comes in, is that from volume 4, it's dipping. It went from volume 4
at over 600,000. Volume 5, less than that. Volume 6, less than that one. And that could literally fall into the term. I remember I read a comic a long time ago. It was a Flash comic. It was called Live Fast, Die Young. And that could very well be the case with these series. And maybe Shonen Jump and Shueisha might have not, you know, put this into account that, dog, these series are blowing up and exploding humongously, like going crazy with these numbers. Eventually, they have to, you know, peak. And even though, yes, there are new manga and anime fans every day, if there's only so many readers, there's only so far it could go. And pretty much what I'm trying to say is that a lot of these series, yeah, they're going to come and go really quick. And that's probably what Shonen Jump is actually looking at. Like, well, it's a gamble. Because on one hand, yes, that means that we're going to have to put these series to bed a lot earlier. But again, it gets to focus on the anime. And I think moving forward, what's really happening, and it's starting to open my eyes as to where the importance is being placed on, as I've said multiple times, is the fact that the anime is where all the money is really coming from them, and probably in their point of view, in terms of like, yo, a manga volume in Japan goes for like $2. Like, so even if they sell, let's just say, 5 million copies of a manga, that's, while that's crazy, you know, $10 million, once you start splitting it, the mangaka gotta get his cut, everybody gets their cut and whatnot, you know what I'm saying, it starts skimming down. With the anime, well, yes, a lot of people, they work on that, most of the time a lot of these people, they don't get residuals, you know, animators, they get very, very slim pickings, which is something that needs to change as well. But nevertheless, if they're putting all of the importance that we were looking at, like, yo, they really care about the manga, and now they're like, hey, we got the manga, we're running to the anime, they're gonna shoot themselves in the foot, because eventually if they don't have any more that are gonna match that, now they gotta wait. Now if this era was a short-lived era that is kind of gone, then essentially when all of these series that are already starting to be on the decline 5-6 volumes in start to completely fizzle out, we're waiting now for some of these other series that aren't going to be able to do this, that are going to have to take the long play of, you know, building up and getting popular over time and working towards that sales mark, which will leave us vacant of anything that really stands out, and ultimately will leave us at a place of not the best place. And if you think I'm exaggerating on this, again, looking at Kaiju number 8, I remember I was thinking like, yo, Spy Family, kind of the latest volume didn't sell as much as the previous one, and the anime's out now. Back catalog's a different story, but again, with the new volumes, they ideally are supposed to sell more each and every volume. So the fact that I saw, like, I was like, okay, that's a little bit down. Likewise with Tokyo Revengers. But then I started noticing, and I was looking at some of the other series that, again, do the long play thing. And majority of the time, the long play thing takes a while. Like, look at Full Metal Alchemist. It took, you know, 4 or 5 volumes before it really started hitting waves. Look at Kingdom, how many volumes it freaking took for Kingdom. Marimashita Iruma-kun, that's a pretty popular series. It took a long time. Some of these ones that they blow up quick and they fizzle out. Another one, Wotakoi. Look, from volume 1 to 2, it blew up, and then once again, it starts to fizzle out. And it could very well be that they already have planned for this, and they understand that they're going to take care of the situation as it approaches. Shonen Jump may have just stepped in it big time, and this could bring serious repercussions in terms of, you might not have anything that's going to be really that popular mainstream to talk about with a lot of people for a while, which trickles down, and there's just so much more to it. But honestly, I'm very curious what you guys think. Do you think that looking at this the way it is right now, in terms of, like, they have these series that they blew up real quick, they're already fizzling out, and now we got to start series now that are going to blow up eventually, is it going to be too vacant? Like, what is your whole thoughts on the situation right now in terms of the manga industry? Because a lot of series, a lot of publishers were following suit on this big blow it up immediately, and now it's like, And speaking of things that is going to get fans upset, My Hero Academia fans are probably going to look at this section and be like, no. Because in case you don't know, one of the biggest things about the anime the last couple seasons, I want to say ever since season 4, the first 3 seasons, I never heard a peep of this. It wasn't until season 4 where I started to notice, and fans started to call this out, that the anime has been very heavily affected by them creating movies on the side. It's been pretty much that, hey, if there's a movie coming out, we know that My Hero Academia season ain't gonna look that great. We had it with season 4 where there was certain points where Mirio, the fights wasn't all that great, and then season 5, do I really need to get into the catastrophe of what they did with My Villain Academia, rearranging arcs just so that they could line up with the release of the film? Like, that film, World Heroes Mission, it really affected things of that season of the anime. And then, in case you missed this, I'll inform you that pretty much there was a leak that came out that supposedly, and it was really reliable, My Hero Academia was going to have this 10 movie plan over 10 years. Pretty much, I believe that came out shortly after either the last film or the one before that. It was either the second
second or third film that this came out that, yo, we got this 10-year plan. And a lot of people were like, 10-year plan? And then on top of that, right now, as it stands, Kohei Horikoshi announced that he was trying to end the manga, or he was trying to get to that climax and whatnot by the end of this year, early next year. On top of the fact that, again, My Hero is getting a lot of negative feedback for the anime because of the existence, just the very existence of these movies. And Shonen Jump was like, yo, dog, aha, we got it. We know exactly. Y'all are sick of those My Hero Academia movies affecting your anime experience because we're cutting the budgets and we're cutting the team so that some could work on the movie and some could work on the anime. We know how we're gonna fix it. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? They're no longer movies. There's something else now. We're gonna call them OVA. Now, in case you've never heard of an OVA, original video animation, essentially, these are usually like small episodes. Oftentimes, it'll be like, hey, something that doesn't necessarily fit within this constructs of the story, or it's just like a loose story or something funny. Over time, they started taking those little OVAs and adding them as bonus episodes to like be able to sell the Blu-rays and DVDs. And now apparently My Hero Academia is going to be airing original video animations in theaters, but they're not movies, they're OVAs. My Hero Academia will be receiving two new OVAs screened in theaters, the first one delivered summer 2022. No details on the second work have been revealed. And then another one says My Hero 2 OVAs announcement page and Hero League Baseball OVA key visual in issue number 24. So one of them is going to be like a baseball themed one. In case you don't know, in Japan, baseball is very big. But it sounds like, and I'm still going to stick to this, and I'm going to throw this in here, we'll talk about it in a different video, more than likely My Hero, I can almost guarantee, the reason why it's feeling the way it is right now is we're getting that time skip guaranteed. That 10-year plan is still in effect. And what they're deciding to do is either A, because of where My Hero is at right now, is in a kind of weird transitional stage of like wrapping up and possibly getting to that next point. They're like, yo, movies right now isn't the best thing. On top of fans don't really want the movies right now. How about we take what we was going to do for a movie, maybe cut that in half or add a little extra like what we would have done and put out two OVAs, so to speak. That way it's not movies. Fans can't say, hey, they're doing more movies, even though it's literally the same thing and anybody that has a brain can catch on. But sometimes people don't link the two and they think it's a different experience and they could just get bamboozled. It's just, y'all know, you know, average people that aren't really deep into any of this stuff, they don't understand it. In fact, sometimes they just think, oh, another movie. They don't really care for those people that want more movies. And it's like, yo, dog, I'm gonna just keep it a buck with you. If this thing, this baseball OVA, is going to affect the quality of what is supposed to be the next arc of the anime, then throw it in the trash. I'm gonna just keep it a buck with you. I respect, and I'm not by any means trying to disrespect the people that worked on this. I'm simply directing that energy towards the people that make these decisions and know that, yo, if you would have just probably put your best foot forward with this and really gave it like that top-notch art and animation, you probably could have done a Marine Ford effect of like what happened with One Piece, where you just blow this shit up and it just becomes the biggest thing ever. Instead, they decided to have some baseball OVAs. Like, what? I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm still like looking at this like not necessarily puzzled, but just like, why? Call it a rant in the middle of Forever News or whatever you want. Nobody wants that shit. Nobody. Everybody wants the anime to be 10 out of 10. That's it. That's what we want. We want the anime 10 out of 10 and the manga to be really, really good, of course, leading into the anime being 10 out of 10. That's what we want. We don't want baseball OVAs. We don't want more movies. I don't want Rhodey. I don't want none of that shit. Give me a good anime, please, like you did with the first three seasons. The first three seasons, oh my god. Mwah. Then it goes season four and it's like, then season five is like, wow. And if you really want to hear a wow, get ready for this one, because you may have heard of the Seven Deadly Sins, right, lad? You either love it or hate it at this particular point, depending on what your experience was with it. If you're just like a strictly anime-only person, you're probably absolutely disgusted at the experience you had going from grade A1 pictures, literally A1 studios doing the animation, to what Studio Dean did, where it looked like they just had like eaten a can of beans and was farting and drawing when they did this. Because according to this, it says here, Four Nights of the Apocalypse is getting a TV anime series. Now, if you don't know what Four Nights of the Apocalypse is, it's a spinoff of the Seven Deadly Sins. To my knowledge, from what I remember reading off the first chapter, I think, or two, did I read two? I know I read the first one for sure. It wasn't like with the kids of Meliodas in them. I think they are going to be a part of it, but I remember the main character was not like related to any of them, or didn't at the time, at the very least, come across like he was directly related. Maybe I was totally off and not really thinking or whatever, but like, I didn't didn't really feel like he was all that related. So it's an interesting thing. But one of the big things that I'm thinking of is, wait a minute, didn't Netflix announce those terrible freaking 3D CG films that they were doing? There were supposed to be two of them. So now not only that is coming from Netflix, which I don't know if this is going to be Netflix. More than likely is they have that deal. But is this coming and is this going to be with Netflix too? The Four Nights of the Apocalypse? Like, what's going on here? Because if I'm just being honest, if this is going to be a full-on 3D CG animation type of anime, like connected straight with the other one, and that's their goal, I'm not watching it. I'm flat out. Like, I'm at a different stage in my life where I'm not gonna just roll over. Like, I don't care how good it is, unless it looks like Arcane levels. I don't care how good the story is, I'm not watching if it's straight up looking like what those films look like they're gonna look like, which is bad. Just flat out bad. And if that's the Four Nights of the Apocalypse, which I'm not gonna lie, I wanna see it. I'm interested. I loved what I read with the first chapter, but if you're gonna give me that, if you're not gonna give me anything other than just your best foot forward, just keep it. And I mean, I'm looking at this here. There's a poster where the VAs talk about the announcement, and on it, like, it looks like regular animation, but that don't really mean anything. And you have the main character and what looks like Meliodas behind him. Obviously, it's a spinoff, so you're gonna have Meliodas in it. But honestly, again, if they botch this one, if it's not to the quality that I want and expect for something really dope, if they don't do a like, honestly, they could literally use Boruto as a teachable moment, right? You know how Boruto gets a lot of hate, how like the anime, when it goes into anime original, everybody despises it and it gets all of that hate and stuff like that. Like, they could learn from that and say, why don't we just make a seasonal high quality anime, 12 episodes a year, Four Nights of the Apocalypse, high quality, and boom, and I will love it, and I will support it, I will watch it, I will make a video praising it. So hopefully they get that in their mind before they drop this, because again, if it's a 3D CG project, I'm just not watching. I'm sorry, I'm not watching. Now, the voice actors in anime, their case is getting even more interesting as things are unfolding regarding the anime industry and what's really going on, especially in particular in the West, because some data was recently released in terms of the amount of people that work on episodes, all sorts of stuff. Really, really dope article, I believe, over on Crunchyroll.com, courtesy of them. Shout outs to them. And it gave a lot of insights on different variables of just information from the series and all of that good stuff. People that worked on it, yada, yada. And in case you don't know, there's been a lot of controversy back and forth with between the voice actors in anime, the writers. There's just been so many things happening where it's like, yo, dog, there's just a lot of unhappy workers. And then this information came out and had me thinking, like, yeah, they have even more of a point now, and if they push this forward and people start to look at it, they're gonna be like, oh, the voice actors aren't bugging. Like, yeah, they have a point. Because it says here, behind every raw declaration and tearful goodbye was an incredible voice actor giving it their all. And this is in reference to Attack on Titan's final season. Just strictly the final season of Attack on Titan. Not talking about the first three seasons and all that. Just strictly the final season of Attack on Titan. And we got an infograph here, and it says, for the English dub, get ready for this, the English dub of Attack on Titan, the final season, there were 829 credits. And what they mean by that, if I'm not mistaken, is that there was 829 characters that had to be credited, whether it be all the people of Marley, all of that good stuff that were voicing. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the credits is in reference to the amount of people that, you know, voiced. And out of the 829 credits, 205 were unique voice actors. So if that was all characters that were credited, 829, and 205 voice actors did 829 characters, that is astronomically insane. That's literally having four jobs in one for every actor, basically. And then on the Japanese side of things, it's 616 credits and 106 unique voice actors. So their situation, while, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say their situation is probably not as great, but the difference between it and, you know, big difference between it is that English dub voice actors, they usually get about $120 for about 2 hours of work, and they may never get a call again, or, you know, it's just very up in the air. Japanese voice actors over there in Japan, from my understanding, they're compensated very well. They're treated like how, you know, in the West, we treat like celebrities like Will Smith, Chris Rock, like, you know, nobody shuts up about them. Like, we treat them like that. Over there in Japan, they're the same way. So somebody like, you know, the voice actress of Naruto, the voice actress of Goku, like, they're looked at as, you know, rock stars over there. They're looked at as very big deals, and they get paid accordingly. However, over here, you know, the English dub voice actors, sometimes we look at them, right? And I like to give both sides of the spectrum. I understand a lot of people to this day are very upset with some of the voice actors because of X, Y, and Z, the Vic Mignogna case, face, all of that stuff. Like, I get you guys' frustration and whatnot and why you're upset about the voice actors, but there's a part of it to say that, yo, have we just looked at how the voice actors, the English dub voice actors in the West for anime, how they've been treated since the beginning of time? Like, not even just recently, since the beginning of time, since English dub became a thing. For starters, one of the biggest things was everybody always used to say, especially in the 90s and early 2000s, and even some still do now, I'd say now they're very, very unreasonable to say this, but people said in the 90s and 80s and all of that other stuff that those dubs were horrible, that those were unwatchable dubs, and there was a lot of validity to that. There was a lot of times, like, you know, the old big green Dragon Ball dub, that was absolutely garbage. That was a terrible, terrible dub. But nevertheless, just imagine you coming into this industry, maybe you love this, maybe you don't know that, you know, you're just getting a shot. So now you take the job, you do the role, and you gotta get constantly slammed and told that you suck, and you have to accept that these fans are nonstop gonna tell you suck. And they're not really fans, actually, because, you know, if that's all you want to do is tell somebody that they suck. So now you have these people that they just have vitriol for you of telling you suck. You got to accept it. It's the commonality for years and years and years. Anime dub actors, no respect given for them. So then they get to certain positions now, and anime is blowing up. And they're still like, everybody else in other fields is getting respect. They're getting the pay. And we're still looked at as ragtag. Yes, there's some validity for them to be upset. Yes, there's a reason why some of them will be bitter, angry, feel they didn't get their just dues, because it's really unfair and really corny to be like, imagine you on a hit show that plays every single day, syndicated on TV, like back in the days with Dragon Ball Z. Sean Schimmel and all of them, they don't get residuals to that, to my knowledge, unless they struck the greatest deal in the world. They don't get residuals. They don't get like a check for every box that sold or every time it plays on TV. They don't get any of that. So imagine you compartmentalize all of that into, yo dog, yes, they're going to feel mad. They're going to feel like they got the short end of the stick, and all they wanted to do was voice in these cartoons that they enjoyed, some of them, or some of them just, I just took on a job, it turned into a career, and I really love it, but the fans, they've treated them like shit for a long time, so I understand when these English voice actors, to a certain degree, get upset about things. Now, obviously, you know, there's various situations where we don't need to go into that, yeah, there's more of a nuance to it, but in terms of English voice actors, I do gotta feel like a part of my heart goes out to them of, they've always been treated like crap, so how are you expecting them to feel any different and act any different when you treated them like y'all second class citizens in every facet? And just quickly to read a little piece of that article, it says, infographic Attack on Titan final season by the numbers. In the few years I've spent as a number guys over at My Anime List and Funimation, and this is by, so look, we could get this clear, Liam Dempsey, which I'm almost certain Dempsey ain't your last name, but do the Dempsey role, my guy. In the years I poured over seas of databases, spreadsheets, and episodes to cover all kinds of truly groundbreaking stats, examining everything from how people skip JoJo's Bizarre Adventure parts to tallying up every way Ram insults Subaru in ReZero Starting Life in Another World. My guy, doing God's work. So here's my first deep dive into the new waters at Crunchyroll. It felt right to tackle something just as monumental. Attack on Titan final season has been rumbling through the anime community the last year and a half. And again, you know, it's just different stats. Like, over the last 28 episodes, 78% of it was in the present, 22% was in the past. And this is a fantastic breakdown of everything. But the biggest one, honestly, if I'm just keeping it real, again, is poor voice actors, man. Like, you know, Japanese voice actors, maybe they might have the same amount of work. Maybe they might have more. I can't really do the math off the top of my head right now. But I will say that they're getting paid to have a struggle. The English voice actors aren't getting paid to do four roles a person. They're not. They're not even getting paid properly to do one role a person. We've got a little bit of interesting drama going on in the community right now. In case you don't know, there's a YouTuber that goes by the name EyePatchWolf. I believe Super EyePatchWolf. EyePatchWolf, forgive me. But they're a content creator that they talk about a bunch of different things, but a lot of anime and manga related videos. And one that they kind of consistently do is where they kind of dive into our waters and talk about like what's going on in Shonen Jump right now, the magazine and whatnot. And they recently released a video basically saying, hey, this is our yearly trip to Manga City of the current state of Shonen Jump 2022. And interestingly enough, in case you guys don't know, a lot of the news that I get to you guys is from the unofficial weekly Shonen Jump Twitter account. Shout outs to them. They are just fabulous. Honestly, they're just amazing. They just bring all of this information. You can't do anything else but be grateful that, like, yo, they exist. Like, shout outs to the unofficial weekly Shonen Jump account over on Twitter. Well, according to them, they disagreed with Super EyePatchWolf's video recently and there was a little bit of a stir because they never really step out of character. The unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump Twitter account, they rarely speak other than, hey, here's the news, here's the news, here's the news. So when they actually have an opinion on something or, you know, spark back, it's because there's some validity to what they have to say, in my opinion, because I trust them. They constantly have, you know, their finger on the pulse, and I wanted to share their counteract. So for people that maybe feel a way about watching Super Eye Patches Wolf video on, you know, the current state of Shonen Jump, maybe you can see a little bit of a different twist, because I like to rep for, you know, them, the unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump Twitter account. So let's read what they had to say about the video. While we believe this video and overall format can be a fantastic initial entry into the Shonen Jump world, we also think there are many misconceptions stated and spread due to the insane reach of this investigation work. Shonen Jump can't be analyzed with just sales data, which is indeed an important factor to keep in mind, but as we've known for years, magazine popularity and certain other unknown variables are taken into consideration when it comes to deciding what works live and what works end. This is one of the very answers to the point stated at different moments in the video of not knowing why some series die. As much of an incognita it can be, a thorough following of TOC news, promotions, and narrative can give an even better, more accurate, and actually objective insight into the future of both works and the very magazine. That is true. Like, one of the things that when I come here and I tell you guys, whether you feel like I'm coming and being the doom and gloom police or not, is, hey, I'm giving you guys my opinions, my thoughts based on facts that we cover every single week here on Forever News. Years and years and years, we cover these things. So that's where I can give you guys, hey, I know this based on the author comments, I know this based on the TOC, I know this based on all of the articles, I know this based on the sales numbers. Like, we know a lot over here at Forever News, so we give these insights. And what he's trying to say is basically that Super Eye Patch Wolf wasn't informed enough and wasn't having proper backing for these opinions that he made over on the video. This kind of investment in the whole Jump brand would also fix errors such as comedy series that are not running in the magazine anymore, being thought of as still running, series with low sales actually having an acceptable performance magazine-wise, and the opposite, acceptable sales with low popularity metrics. And it's also really important to fully delve into every work, as significant as it may seem, in order to understand the whole behavior of this environment and what the magazine is trying to achieve with them. None of the factors listed will ever determine the exact fate of each series, since such an unstable environment in which series come and go sometimes really suddenly can change from one week to another the overall behavior and performance of any running work. And again, that's just facts. Literally 2 years ago, you couldn't tell anything to a My Hero fan. In 2022, after a couple things happened, now a lot of people aren't on board with it. Likewise with Black Clover. And from one week to another, perfect example, Black Clover went from people saying they're dropping it, it's the worst series ever, the last chapter before it goes on break, everybody's like, I can't wait for it to come back, this is so great, that was the best chapter of the series I had of all time. Like, anything can change at a drop of a hat, and something that is constantly updating every single day, like Weekly Shonen Jump magazine. There will always be press and patterns, but those can very well be broken many times the more works we keep seeing serialized. Our objective with this message is nothing other than to give feedback on a kind of content that is already a good tool but can become an even greater one in order to introduce people to this amazing manga environment, not only from a reader's subjective perspective but also by analyzing how series survive, how series are greenlit, and how the overall magazine functions. As a community that has been trying to show and at the same time learn how this complex system evolves over the years, we really hope upcoming content like this gets more polished and strives for as much accuracy as possible in the future. We're also open to any questions. Good luck with your future work. And just shout outs to the unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump Twitter account. That was really dope of them to give their insights and feeling as though, like, hey, if the information is inaccurate, you got to come in and correct it. So shout outs to them. And yeah, go check them out if you got any questions about it. And while we're on the topic of Jump, we got some new manga coming to Shonen Jump. We got a bunch of different things, and in particular, one that I'm like, yo, dog! This author that is returning to Shonen Jump magazine, I'm calling it right now. I said it on Twitter, and I'm going to say it one more time here on a video. I feel once this author gets serialized, full-on serialized, because we're going to talk about some one-shots that are coming and all that stuff, but a full-on serialization, I feel within the next 3 to 4 years, this author can be the biggest thing in Shonen Jump, or one of the biggest things in Shonen Jump, a la somebody like the author of My Hero, Koe Horikoshi, Yuki Tabata, author of Black Clover. I feel like this could be the same scenario with this author, because, in case you don't know, there's a weekly Shonen Jump upcoming one-shot round. Issue number 24 will be Mangaka no Neko de Aru by Tsutsutsu Taishi. I'm not familiar with that author, to be honest with you. But then issue number 25 is Cho Nerawate Taishitsu no Ore ga Sute Secret. Oh my god, just alone, it looks like a really long title, like a light novel or something. And that's by Hayashi Seiji. And yeah, that title is really, really long. But the third one-shot is where I'm like, yo, dog, I'm reading this, and I highly recommend if you want want something that's probably going to be good, you should check it out, because issue number 26 is going to be bringing Nande Nanda-san by Kawaguchi Yuki. And in case you don't know who Kawaguchi Yuki is, they just recently were in Shonen Jump, and they're already coming with a one-shot after kind of unfortunately getting canned, getting the axe, and that's the author of Hunter's Guild Red Hood. In case you ain't read the Hunter's Guild Red Hood, especially the ending and how meta it was and beautifully done, the author of the Hunter's Guild Red Hood is very talented. That series was very good, it was very misguided, and the author, in other words, subliminally basically said, hey, it was Weekly Shonen Jump's editorial department that screwed us over. It was basically my editor that screwed me over. In other words, using the narrative of the last couple chapters, some people may disagree, but it was so meta, talking about editors revising the story, messing things up, that it felt like, yo, dog, it was straight up him saying, this is what happened, this is why we got canned, because the Hunter's Guild Red Hood was awesome, and it looks like they're coming back again for a one-shot. Nande Nanda-san by Kawaguchi Yuki, 3 issues from now, issue number 26, and I'm encouraging you, if you can read it, and hopefully that one is good enough to get serialized, and when it drops, I will check that one out as well. I feel like this could very well be, and maybe I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but this could very well be, again, going from Barrage to My Hero for Kohei Horikoshi, going from Hungry Joker to Black Clover for Yuki Tabata, Red Hood, Hunter's Guild Red Hood to Nande Nanda-san. I don't know what that means, actually, the name of it, and if it got serialized, they'd probably change it, because Nande Nanda-san, wah, wah, wah. And just looking at the image from Nande Nanda-san real quick for Kawaguchi, there's a picture right there as well. It kind of looks similar to the Red Hood art. I'm reading it. But yes, people, I am very, very geeked and very excited for Yuki Kawaguchi to return. Hopefully it's even better than Hunter's Guild Red Hood. Next up, a small couple stories that you're probably just gonna be like, yo, what's good? Undead Unluck number 109. It was a cover page that says RIP, and I don't know if it's spoilers or anything at all. It doesn't appear to be spoilers, but just off the cover alone, this looks absolutely sick, and I really hope Undead Unluck doesn't like take a wrong turn and just randomly they pull a siren and stop it before it gets an anime or something. Like, Undead Unluck is just, it looks like it's knocking, man, and I haven't caught up in a good minute. And also, in other news, Dr. Stone will be getting a stage play July 2022, so yeah, it's so bizarre that they pushed back the Dr. Stone anime. We was really supposed to get that anime this summer. I'm damn sure that they were supposed to, and probably they canned it, and I don't know where they just had to switch things. Again, going back to the previous story of what the unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump Twitter account said, is that, yo, things change very quickly. A series can be planned to do this, and the next minute it's gone. Promise Neverland. I'm damn sure that they probably initially didn't think like they were gonna do what they ultimately did with season 2. They were probably gonna give it a good anime adaptation, and then probably sales went down and Jump was playing around like, yo, we gonna end it, we got this new idea of what we doing, and they're like, yo, but that's not gonna help promote, and they're like, yo, but we're blowing shit up, you don't understand, and they're like, okay. And then the Phantom Seer artist Matsuda Kento illustrated the cover of skateboarding coming of age novel Skate Rat Ni Kasai. So if you've been itching to see a little bit of Phantom Seer art lately, here you go. That was another one that I was like, why did they cancel it? And another small unrelated news, One Piece by Eiichiro Oda has sold 30.4 million units in France, becoming the first manga series to reach 30 million copies over there, with volume 101 releasing that day. That's crazy. One Piece is the highest selling manga in France too, right? 30 million, and it's the first manga to do that. If you don't know, now you know. And since we're on the topic of sales, let's jump into the top 50 best selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_Ke. And rounding out 50 is My Dress Up Darling Volume 9 with 10,515 sales, total to 80. That one had a really good season. Like, the anime really blew that shit up. I gotta give it props. By the way, the cover of this one, Nozomano Fushi no Bokensha, the colors of it just looks freaking fabulous. Then going up a little bit, we got at number 44 Jujutsu Kaisen Volume 18. What the hell is that? Manga de Wakaru Fate Grand Order. Oh my god, a Fate Grand Order volume at 43, Volume 18, doing 12,000. Okay. Then let's jump over to volumes or places 40 through 31. At 40, A Familiar Face with Tokyo Revengers Volume 26 still hasn't hit a million. It's getting there. It's getting there, lads. It's getting there. Then going up, we got a couple of Detective Conan at 33 and 34, still selling even more. That little
spinoff anime they did is clearly working because, yeah, it's pushing numbers. Then we got 30 through 21 at number 28, Atelier of Witch Hat, volume 10 with 17,047. Again, that's one that I've been meaning to get into. I heard that it's really good and the art always looks great. We got at number 26, Komi Can't Communicate, volume 25. Number 24, Spy Family, volume 1 through 3, with 18,000 this week, bringing us total to 146,000. Pretty good stuff. And then top 20 or 20 through 11, a lot of unknowns. I'm not even gonna lie. Ikoku Nikki, volume 9. We got Takopi's Original Sin, which I want to say that one's actually like doing really well in sales. Takopi's Original Sin, volume 2, 26,000. We got Conan, volume 101. In 12 days now, it has sold a total of 374,000. That's a big one. One Piece and Conan, that's crazy. They're both right there, 101 volumes. It's nuts. Then Spy Family, showing that that anime is doing gangbusters, because volumes 1 through 3, 42,000, 43,000, 44,000, bringing all of them to 1.8, 1.7, 1.6. Jeez, oh my god, the top 10. I just flipped over to the top 10, like, wow. One Piece at number 10, wrapping up the top 10, and in 20, okay, One Piece still in the top 10 in a month. That's really, really good, actually. You know, that's great. 28 days, 45 this week, 1.5 in total. That's really good. Golden Kamuy volume 29, 13 days, 49,000. Then we got a whole bunch of Spy Family, volume 7, 6, 5, 4, 8. Jeez. This is literally Spy. Again, the anime blow up. So, you know, going back to a previous thing is, who knows, maybe they don't care about those first week sales that much after it goes for so long and it starts diving down, because they know when the anime comes for like Kaiju, it's gonna blow shit back up. So maybe that's their whole mindset as well. Because, gosh darn it, top 3, you got Jujutsu Kaisen volume 19 at number 3 with 77,000, 1.49. Number 2, Tokyo Revengers volume 27, 91 this week, bringing us total to 719. Wow, that's nuts. And then number 1, Spy Family volume 9, 105,000, bringing us total in a month to 1,007,000. Like, wow. Even if the first week sales for these series are like dipping a little bit and the volumes are dipping piece by piece, once the anime come back, it does give me like, okay, at the very least the anime will bring them back up for a while. And again, if that's the whole thing that the manga industry is betting on, their anime really doing the work in 2022. Now let's take a quick look at the weekly Shonen Jump author comments, lad. For starters, we got Blue Exorcist, which, by the way, that's not a weekly Shonen Jump. They occasionally put their comment in, though. And it says, sorry for the uneasy turn of events in the manga as soon as we got back. So is like Blue Exorcist going crazy off rip? I don't know. I haven't read it in a long time. We got Twin Star Exorcist author. I haven't seen this author in forever. Our workplace is finally able to operate fully remotely. So wow, they're really going to stick remotely with a lot of these studios. That's interesting, I guess you would say. We got One Piece Eiichiro Oda. I'm currently addicted to konnyaku yam cakes. They're great in cold noodle dishes and udon. Miso dengaku is the best. I don't eat any of that. We got Jujutsu Kaisen's Gege Akutami. I'm celebrating announcer Hana Isogai's new journey in life and wishing her the best in future events. No idea what that means either, lads. Author of Sakamoto Days, Yuto Suzuki. This week's Jump Plus and Giga feature work from Iwakura and Yuki-chan-san. Check them out. That's dope, putting, you know, probably people that work with him or whatnot. That's cool. We got Gen Osuka from Doran Dororan. I'm in Jump with a friend from my student days. Amazing. Congrats, Hidaken. Marshall's Hajime Komodo. I'm putting this off, but I hope to be able to throw a slider before I die. Jeez. Talk about morbid as hell. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Really? And then coming in dead last in the TLC, never a good thing, makes me worried, is Ayashimon by Yuji Kaku. I'm rewatching The Simpsons. Homer's voice always makes me laugh. I don't know, man. I can't call it if Ayashimon is going to stick around or not. I got to keep on stressing, protect me Shugamaru, probably out of here. Dororan, probably out of here. Ayashimon, because once again it's back at the bottom. Like, we just was speaking about how it was going up and it looks like, hey, maybe they're more susceptible to it. Now it's back at the bottom. And to wrap this episode up for Never News, we got one final story. In case you don't know, Japan is going to start potentially letting tourists back in. I remember hearing about this, that I believe it was like PewDiePie has been like dying to go to Japan and he hasn't been able to go, and like because of this whole, you know, the pandemic and everything, they had restrictions. Well, according to this, it says that Japan to ease foreign travel restrictions further in June. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida revealed in a speech in London on Thursday that Japan will ease foreign travel COVID-19 restrictions further in June. He stated, we have now eased border control measures significantly, within the next easing taking place in June, when Japan will introduce a smoother entry process similar to that of other G7 members. Japan is working on reopening its economy. A panel of experts are beginning and discussing to review its response to the COVID, with a report coming as early as June. So PewDiePie, maybe this summer you can finally have your dream come true and you can make your way to Japan. Okay, so how about some good news for
a change? How about something that's going to make you be like, yo, things is actually looking up. Things ain't all that bad. Again, just kind of something to lift your spirits, because I think it's about due. Like, while I got a whole lineup of stories for you guys, I felt it was very important to dive into this one to start off with, because I ain't gonna lie, I have been seeing a narrative here and there of like, yo, there's not that much anime that we're into, and, you know, manga really ain't hitting right now. Like, a lot of people are saying that, aside from One Piece, that's like the exception. And to be honest with you, I feel there's some validity to it, but at the end of the day, right now doesn't mean forever. Because shout outs to Shonen Saito, I'm not gonna lie, I was even looking today, like, I woke up like, you know, alright, let's do some Forever News, get me excited about the world of anime and manga, let's talk some stuff or whatnot. And then when I saw this post, I was like, this is what I needed to get me excited. And I think this, if you're feeling a little jaded right now, if you're feeling a little bit like, I don't really care about anime and manga right now, it's not really hitting it for me, again, you might just be feeling a little jaded, hear what I'm gonna tell you right here, and you're gonna be like, oh, okay, the greatness is on the way. Because Shonen Saito posted on Twitter, this fall anime season is very nuts. My Hero Academia season 6, the jury right now is still out on that one, whether or not it's going to be something that we need per se, but I get the sentiment. At the end of the day, this is supposed to be the strongest content, and then also those two OVAs that they're putting in theaters, which pretty much makes them technically like movies, but, you know, that's a side story. Either way, My Hero Academia season 6, Mob Psycho season 3. We're gonna get into that in a little bit, but yes, people, that alone is like, yes, mwah. Golden Kamuy season 4, for me personally, I'm not caught up with Golden Kamuy, but Golden Kamuy season 1 was dope, and there's a lot of people that are following it, so shout outs to that. But then the next one right here, Bleach, you know, Bleach, My Hero Academia season 6, again, ideally should be the strongest. Mob Psycho returning, which a lot of people thought it wouldn't return for season 3. Golden Kamuy season 4, man, cool stuff. But then Bleach, like, yo, you add that on top of that, that's crazy. Spy Family's second core. Spy Family right now is like the only thing that I'm hearing is holding down anything for the world of anime and manga. Like, right now, when it comes to the world of anime and manga, like, in particular with this season of anime, shall I say, Spy Family is really the one that is holding it down in popularity. Tomodachi Game is freaking amazing, but not many people are talking about it. Spy Family, however, got the mainstream going at the time for right now, and when that second core comes through, again, a lot of people are going to continue watching. To Your Eternity season 2, that one could be a hit or miss story-wise. I'm sure it's going to be amazing, but art and animation, considering the fact that they're switching studios, we'll see. Eminence and Shadow, I'm not familiar. Iruma season 3, I'm not too familiar with, but again, probably a lot of people are excited for it. Uzumaki, dog, oh my god. And when I say Uzumaki, please don't be thinking right now I'm talking about our boy Naruto or our boy Boruto. Like, I'm talking about the horror anime Uzumaki Enter the Spiral, where pretty much people go nuts and think that everything has spirals down to the spirals on your fingertips. Like, it's a really trippy series, and pretty much I want to say it was like 3 years ago now that Adult Swim had announced, yo, we're making an Uzumaki anime. Of course, the pandemic, completely understandable. When once that hit, they had to, you know, halt production. Like, hey, what else did you expect them to do? So completely understandable there. But now it seems as though, again, based on all the announcement, that we're probably gonna get Uzumaki, which finally they're gonna show you guys what a horror anime could really do. Like, I feel like When They Cry, Higarashi When They Cry, has been like the standard best you can do in terms of being really off the rails for horror anime, and I feel like Uzumaki is gonna come in and say, yo, this is a classic manga for a reason, let's make a classic anime, because the little trailer alone looks fire. Then we got Kokyu no Karasu. I've kind of heard of the name, but I'm not familiar. Gundam the Witch from Mercury, is that the one that people are hyping up right now and saying like, yo, this is gonna be dope? And very likely Chainsaw Man and Blue Lock 2. Chainsaw Man, oh my god, although I don't even know, man, that's gonna be a tough one. And I feel like to a certain degree Shueisha should probably put Chainsaw Man out either like a season sooner or a season after, because, you know, it's gonna be tough competing in the season. But the biggest thing about all of this to say is that, like I said at the beginning of this programming, is that let's start off with some good news. And to be honest with you, if even half of this is actually going down for the season of the fall season of anime, then, you know, it's going to be bright. It seems as though right now the anime and manga industry is just kind of in a preparation stage, which is good that instead of, you know, working around the clock and dropping something every season, blah, 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 it looks like they're working really hard on a lot of really awesome stuff. And the end of the year, like third and fourth quarter of 2020, 2022 is where it's going to get spicy. So if you're feeling a little bit jaded to the medium, understandable, but just know that the drought won't last forever, people. And so let's jump into a more serious, I guess you would say, topic that technically threatens the existence of the, you know, the anime and manga world, but it's a lot more serious and complex than that, because a lot of people have been passing this tweet around from Elon Musk. If you haven't heard of the dude, he's in talks right now, or I believe he's in the process of buying Twitter. I believe up to the recent interviews, he's been saying that he still hasn't technically become the owner yet, but he's in the process of buying it. Richest freaking guy in the world, literally. Well, depending on what day, it might be Bezos. You never know. But I think as of right now, he's the richest. And he had said this: at risk of stating the obvious, unless something changes to cause the birth rate to exceed the death rate, Japan will eventually cease to exist. This would be a great loss for the world. And again, you know, jokes aside, because some people will be like, yo, yeah, no more anime and manga, which technically, sure, it does threaten the world of anime and manga, because hello, anime and manga is made in Japan, but that's just a lot more of a cultural serious thing, and that also impacts what we are you know, experiencing coming out of anime and manga. And what I mean by that is, because over there they have an issue with the birth rate that, you know, people aren't wanting to have kids because of the economy, because of work. They're like, yo, they're putting it off so late that oftentimes they're just not having kids, and it's getting really bad out there for that. And yeah, that's definitely a serious situation. Obviously, he's spitting facts. If it is that more people are dying than being born, then they seriously have a situation over there. And that's also the reason for all the wackiness that oftentimes is in their media, that, like, yo, on a weekly Shonen magazine, not Shonen Jump, but I think maybe Jump might do that once in a blue. I don't know. If don't quote me on that. I might be totally off on that, but I'm pretty sure Jump rarely does, if they do, any of these, like, bikini magazines. But, like, weekly Shonen magazine, you're gonna see models, you know, nude pretty much, or half nude, on the cover of the magazine. And then, oh yeah, go read, you know, Eden Zero or Four Nights of the Apocalypse. And that's why those series also have fan service, because they understand that the customer is already coming for the cover. Like, wow, that was a pause. But it's just more so to entice people to have those type of, I guess, thoughts in a way. I mean, obviously it's going with the motto of, hey, what sells the most, you know? But still, this is definitely an alarming situation. And also the explanation behind a lot of things in Japan, in terms of, like, yo, in Japan, you have people that really aren't with the times that are running and making decisions. I think now, I remember it was a few years back that the monarchy had changed, and I believe somebody had came into power, a new era had begun or whatnot. So I think that that's why we're starting to see now all of these companies. It's almost as if, you know, Wano has actually opened up. It's almost as if One Piece is a representation of what actually happened in Japan. And I think, well, what Musk is saying definitely has validity to it, because hey, numbers are numbers, right? But ultimately, if this continues with this change, depending on how things go, it could either go left or it could either go right. It could either go that, hey, you know, they're gonna continue down this path, or maybe with some of the changes and kind of Japan being like Wano and One Piece and actually opening up more and feeling a little bit more inviting to people. I mean, for crying out loud, somebody, PewDiePie, I believe, what, he's initially from Sweden, right? And he was like in the UK for a while. PewDiePie just went straight over there to Japan. You know how that's gonna inspire how many people to want to go to Japan now, because they're, you know, back open and stuff like that. And just in general, as far as a society, they're way less closed in. They're way more making the changes that, you know, the rest of the world is making. So yeah, interesting stuff though, nevertheless. And it kind of invoked a little bit of cool thought. So shout outs to Elon Musk for that one. Then people, let's talk about this, because this is interesting, sad in a certain regard, and I'll get into that in a second. But again, I want to be positive with this episode and be more so that, hey, this is some pretty interesting stuff. And also why I tell you guys, when I say that, hey, Naruto, that's gonna continue on forever, like, it just is. These are some of the reasons why, because TV Tokyo, they released their fiscal year rankings, like, hey, this is what each series did, our top properties, our the ones that made the most, the ones that ultimately are their biggest stuff that they got. And they did a top five, and they got the top five anime franchise by sales revenue and by gross profit margin. Now, I'm gonna straight up tell you what the sad part is, or the disappointing aspect of it. The fact that Black Clover was here for many years and is not here. Black Clover doesn't have an anime right now. What do you want it to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, if it had an anime, it'd be a different story. But I guess it's just saddening to me. And also, I take it whole. Whoa. I'm not gonna be biased. I do love Black Clover, but I'm not gonna be biased right here, because hold up, Bleach was doing it for how many years without an anime? I forgot about that. That since like 2012, Bleach has constantly been one of the top franchises for TV Tokyo. So that would be real biased to give the excuse for Black Clover, it doesn't have an anime right now. To be fair, Bleach didn't, and it was doing it anyway. So that speaks volume on Bleach's power and just how big it really is that, you know, a lot of us, including myself, we were underrating it. You know, we were sleeping on it. It was slept on by the masses, including me. I'm not going to lie. I was really just a doo-doo head. But looking at this list, yo, for starters, let's do the by total sales revenue. For starters, at number 5, Bleach, again, still hasn't even returned yet. What these fiscal projections are going to be, or what these fiscal results, shall I say, are going to be after the Thousand Year Blood War begins in October. Like, if word of mouth goes crazy and the rankings are good and everything, Bleach can easily rise up to the top, probably, of this list. Then at number 4, Pokemon can throw a fart in the wind and, hey, gotta catch them all. Number 3, Yu-Gi-Oh! I'd imagine the anime, that's why they continue to make more and more and more, and, like, they're on the, 12th freaking verse at this particular point? Like, I ain't gonna lie, I totally, like, maybe towards, like, Zial or Zexal, however the hell you pronounce it, Zial, like, maybe at that era I was still interested, mildly interested, in 2022, I ain't watching Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm just keeping it a buck with you, and yeah, like, shout outs to them that they've been able to keep it going for Yu-Gi-Oh! All this time now. But, like, maybe the card game, I could see myself maybe at some given point, if, like, you know, life happens the way I would like it to be and I got time to do things I want to do, maybe I could get into Yu-Gi-Oh! You know, even dueling again at some given point in life. I could see that happening for me. But the anime, maybe I'll rewatch the, you know, first one and, no, I don't know. I like GX a little bit. Then the top 2 are very, very interesting. I'm not even gonna lie. Father and Son. Numero uno and two. Because their top franchise, anime franchise, by total sales revenue, at number 2 is Boruto. Number 1, Naruto. Naruto! Wow. I am honestly shooketh. No, but again, I was trying to give that excuse for Black Clover, and, you know, I showed Bleach, but also look at Naruto. It's number 1. Naruto's been over forever. Like, Boruto is running and this and that, but Naruto, to my knowledge, isn't like an, maybe it is in heavy syndication over there on TV. I don't really know, but regardless, Naruto's been over for a long time. It's been Boruto since 2016, right? Naruto ended 2014. Boruto started like 2016. I think we had the Springtime Youth 2015 thing, but number 1 and number 2, Naruto, Boruto, like, wow. What if, here's an interesting idea, and I thought about this. What if Naruto and Boruto continued on following the end of Boruto Part 1? And what I mean by that is, what if they simultaneously run 2 different series after this one, where the Boruto series goes and Boruto, unfortunately, continues, at the very least in the anime side of things, to have that same feel and vibe that it's been going on, which a lot of people are really, from what I'm hearing, very disappointed and sick of the Boruto anime at the moment. Like, but they could have that continue on even into the time skip, just Boruto is Boruto. And then what if they started at the same time a more seinen, older for people like us, that we love Naruto and we're a little bit older, but we would still rock with a really solid, mature Naruto series. Like, I mean, we rock it with Boruto and Boruto's dope, but imagine if Boruto was seinen or some shit and it really was about, like, the adults or some shit. Again, the characters that you originally invested in. Like, imagine they have one simultaneously running where it's maybe like a side story of, like, Sasuke or something along the lines of that until their next move. Because, again, I will continue to say, inevitably, that will be the next chapter of Naruto with the conclusion of Boruto, and it's probably going to go back to Naruto. Look at the results of what Naruto's doing all these years later without having Naruto or Naruto Shippuden running with new episodes. I gotta stress that, because Boruto is not Naruto. It's not. Like, a lot of people watching right now are like, yes, that is facts. that is facts. Boruto is not Naruto. But then top anime franchises by gross profit margin, it slightly is different. Yu-Gi-Oh's at the bottom, then it's Bleach, then Pokemon, go catch 'em, but it still remains the same at the top, baby. It don't matter. Naruto was like, I'm top 3, and it ain't 2 or 3. You dig? Naruto number 1, Boruto number 2, Pokemon, Bleach, Yu-Gi-Oh. That is a tough lineup, but also just demonstrates the power of the original big 3. If One Piece was with TV Tokyo, One Piece would be right there. I don't believe it's with TV Tokyo. That's probably why it's not in here, because let's be real, One Piece would probably dominate everything on this list because of its power over there. But that's still speaking volumes. Naruto and Bleach, like, if they could come to some sort of thing of, hey, Naruto and Bleach, both Studio Puro titles, both with Shonen Jump. Maybe we could do a crossover here and there with One Piece, a Naruto Bleach One Piece with Dragon Ball Z crossover. Anime crossover movie is all you need to make a smash. That is the first crossover to start the Avengers line. You take the biggest ones, Naruto, One Piece, Bleach, Dragon Ball Z. Put them all together. Put it out worldwide. Make the best anime movie possible. Don't be favorable towards any particular one. Unless, well, maybe at the end of the day, can they be Goku? No, I had to throw that one in there. But yeah, like, that's how you would do a crossover. I don't know how we got there, but either way, that's Naruto and Bleach, bro. I know the other ones, Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, I get it. But they have brand new anime coming out. Naruto has something that comes out with its name in it. Technically, Boruto, Naruto Next Generation. But you understand the pulse on that one. Okay, next up, people, I'm just going to give it to you blunt. If everyone is not special, baby, you can be what you want to be. Zule, 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 Mob Psycho 100 Season 3 to air October 2020. If you skipped out on the earlier segment, then you're surprised. If not, you're like, yo, Fennett, why are you so... Because it's Mob Psycho, baby. Honestly, just the nostalgia alone of how much I enjoyed. I remember I got a lot of fond memories of even rewatching that one. Just so many good memories with it, man. So I'm just to see Mob Psycho's back, this is good. Especially at a time where, you know, when the world needed it the most. Reagan and Mom showed up to save the day. So this is really exciting. Mob Psycho 100 Season 3 airing October 2022. Oh my god, can we? Low key, I'm ready to get through summer. I know a lot of people are probably like, no, FNAF, we want summer. We've been... I get it. But in terms of just for the anime nerd side of me, like, dog, I want to see Reagan already, okay? Like, this cannot return quick enough, to say the least, because Mob Psycho 100 Season 3, October 2022. And I'm gonna just leave it at that, lads. Okay, people, I gotta hit you with a very important update, and you're probably gonna be like, yo, Fennev, wow, like, how could you? But I just had to do it to you because the Black Clover movie was announced 409 days ago as of 5/11. So yikes, 410 days ago since the Black Clover movie was announced, and we still don't even have a proper trailer, my lord. Talk about just announcing some shit after like a handshake. Like, it was probably a couple of dudes down at the country club over there in Japan. They were there like, ah, sore wa nan desu ka, daijoubu daijoubu, hehehe, kimochi. And somehow someway it was like, ah, buraku kuroba desu, dozo yoroshiku. And somehow they said like, hey, let's tweet this shit out on the official account, why not? And there it is. Because dog, what the hell? Like, Black Clover movie, like that's kind of wild. A movie for Black Clover, and maybe they're putting out all the stops for it. Maybe they're trying to go in a different direction. I think one of the best things that it looks like Shonen Jump is doing, and just in general this whole scene is starting to do, is be a little bit more scarce, not be constant. You know, I think this could very well be the start of the end of weekly Shonen Jump in terms of all of the changes that are being made, and I mean the weekly aspect of it, because, you know, Black Clover isn't even weekly anymore. None of the manga and weekly Shonen Jump, the top dogs at the very least, have been weekly for a long time. Like, they usually take a break every few chapters, every like 3 or 4 chapters. I mean, One Piece hasn't been weekly in ages. Like, sure, it'll have 2 or 3 back to back, and then it'll take that break, and then sometimes there'll be a break in the magazine after the fact. Like, One Piece hasn't been weekly forever, but I know it's been 410 days since the Black Clover movie was announced, and wow, Shonen Jump, like, please don't do this again. Like, I get it, you're building anticipation, you just cut off the whole stream, right? Maybe that's the idea, like, they twist the knob on the hose, so to speak, get you going nuts crazy, I need it, and you're gonna keep screaming you need it, and then when they eventually open it, it's just gonna go psh. And if you got the metaphor the way I was giving it to you, you wouldn't be having those thoughts in your head right now, would you, lad? You're just a little bit of a dirty, dirty bear, mate. Maybe it's the hat that's making me throw the accent out, so what? Can we talk about Netflix for a moment? Can we talk about what the heck is going on with Netflix? Because apparently, according to leaks, which I'm going to get into that in a second, leaks lately, what I feel personally, to just kind of enlighten you a little bit, these leaks are, but sounds like Netflix is really going through very soon with this whole massive change, and I think personally, it's actually not something, like, I feel like they're marketing it in a different way than it actually is. Because for starters, when you hear like with big top class secret stuff like Netflix, like, hey, rumor has it that blah, blah, blah. Oftentimes that's Netflix that put out rumor has it that blah, blah, blah to test the field to see like, do these people care about if we do this? How much damage? What is the estimate? They estimating right now what the loss would be if so, or the fact that it could have a reverse reaction because, hey, if they announce 150 million things that people want and this is executed properly, then there won't be any loss. There'll be a gain because people's interest alone on, hey, did they really go ad-based? Or, hey, I can actually be on Netflix with just some ad. Like, it's going to get people a little bit more like, whoa. Because don't forget that Netflix is still going to be introducing new, more cost-efficient plans. Maybe it'll be like something of, hey, $2 a month and you get to watch with ads or something. Maybe that'll be the thing. And they're going to start, you know, playing in the ad marketing field of, hey, getting some advertisers that are going to pay top dollar for these ads for the people that are going to be paying $2 or $3. And like, they'll have like an incentive of, hey, we'll give you a percentage of each dollar, blah, blah, blah. Like, work the business out to the best of its capability, because Netflix will introduce its planned ad-based low-price subscription plan later this year after it's lost 200,000 subscribers. The fact that that keeps being pushed, like, it could be also something where, again, we're in the social media app wars era right now, and it could very well be that, like, hey, Hulu is doing this shit. Secretly, Hulu is pushing this forward because it's benefiting them, and more people are saying, oh, screw Netflix, we're going to Hulu, or, and I'm just only using Hulu as an example. There's HBO Max and 100 other ones, so, hey, I'm not accusing. That was just an example. Relax. So it also could be that other entities are pushing that narrative, or it could be that this is very strategic on Netflix's behalf. We gotta wait and see. I mean, half the time, most of these companies, they be rubbing elbows anyway to begin with, but still be at war. It's weird. And either way, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, personally, depending on what they do with it, I won't be so mad, because I feel like it's inevitable, and I feel like people just aren't going to give the biggest pushback that is needed to stop this. I feel like we are entering towards what is going to inevitably lead us to where cable led us. Like, it's not going to be far off to where all of the internet packages, like, the companies start buying each other out, and then there's like one big company that, you know, you got to pay $150, $200, $250 to get all of the internet things that you want, blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like inevitably it's already heading that direction. Like, a lot of these streaming apps are positioning themselves to enter like different realms. So, like, hey, if they have a tier, or let's just say, for me personally, and I know a lot of people will disagree with this one, but let's just say if it's like, yo, $2-3 a month, and hey, you got like 2 or 3 ads during like a 2-hour movie or some shit, that'd be fine. I'm cool with that. Like, I don't think that that's a big deal, and I'd actually prefer something like that, especially considering like, yo, where we at right now with it, $20 or something for Netflix? Like, it's a little bit hefty, but I think that there's some possibilities that people actually are going to be interested. Like, do not forget that while you think like these moves are out of touch, they know what they're doing. Like, you just always got to understand, like, oftentimes with these giant conglomerates, they know what they're doing. This is a company with hundreds of employees, and maybe they make mistakes once in a while. Like, they're not always on point. Like, hey, look what happened with Xbox back in the day. Remember that whole situation with the DMR where they were trying to push that forward and they had to do the whole reversal, and every console you had to do an update? Which, now that I think about it, God knows if that was planned, because, hey, now you had to download, as soon as you got one of their devices, the DMR thing to begin with, and you have to hook up to the internet via the thing. See, a lot of these things is, to quote Ice from the Joe Budden podcast, it's all a rollout. Like, a lot of this stuff do be rollouts, and honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this is just a rollout for their ad-based thing. Like, hey, guys, we're suffering, but we're figuring it out, and then when it comes, you guys are actually going to be enticed by the pricing, because they probably have, like, the biggest specialists around that know what type of prices is going to make you get excited for this. Like, just, you guys will see by the end of the year, Netflix is going to be flexing on them, and y'all going to be like, oh, we coming back, daddy. Speaking of daddy coming back, Dragon Ball Super, Dragon Ball Super Superhero. If you're excited for this film, if you're looking forward to this film, hey, if you even just care to hear about it because it's Dragon Ball and that nostalgia buzz is, oh my god, I love it, then you might be excited about this, because probably you still going to go watch that Dragon Ball Super Superhero film in theaters. Like, me personally, I feel like my nieces and nephew are gonna be that push that make me go watch it. They're just gonna be like, hey, it could be a cool time or something, so I might go. Shut up for them, you know, low-key, you're done. line and go just quit it with the bullshit. You're just a hater of CG 3D. Like, just stop.
Knock it off.
Knock it off. Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super superhero movie English dub in theaters. Crunchyroll is officially bringing Toei Animation's brand new Dragon Ball Super superhero film to theaters across the world this summer. The latest movie will be released across the globe in both subtitled and dubbed formats in North America, Latin America, Europe, Australia/New Zealand, Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. And these sales numbers are going to be absolutely fascinating. I'm gonna just keep it real. This is going to be an absolutely fascinating case study because look at it right here, right? For starters, one of the biggest case studies is, well, what does the biggest title in America, Dragon Ball Super, what does that do as a 3D CG movie in theaters? The biggest anime, action anime, guaranteed to get people at least somewhat interested to come to theaters no matter what it is. What does that do? That is going to tell us a lot of the future of where things go. If this flops, they go back to the drawing board and we get Broly 2 or we get Bardock versus Broly versus Turles' foot or some shit. Like, that's where it goes. It just goes totally. So I don't want to be that person to say, hey, don't support this film, because a lot of people worked on this film. I'm sure there was a lot of hard work, dedication, and all sorts of stuff, because they were probably, hey, paid to make this type of content, because whoever's idea was it to let's go 3D CG. It's not like it was a genie that just said this is the, like, you know, no, there had to be somebody that said, you know what, this is what we, or a lot of somebodies, this is where we're going with it. Maybe that new Dragon Ball room. Oh my god, whoever's in the Dragon Ball room, stop. But I guess we gotta wait and see. Either way, Dragon Ball Super superhero movie. Another big case study is, hey, if this fails, where do they go? Like, that's gonna be a big thing too. Like, if it does, let's just say horrible, right? Let's just say, I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but let's just say Broly, week one in the United States, did $30 million, right? Hypothetical, again, I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head. Editor, put the real numbers so people don't feel like I'm spreading misinformation. And if it's 30 million that it's competing against and this one week one does 12 million, then clearly it's like a massive failure, especially if over time it doesn't catch up either. Then they're probably going to be like, yo, okay, they clearly don't want this. So I don't want to be the guy to say don't support this film, but it's a tough situation because, like, yo, I prefer 2D. And if, you know, this not doing well for me to get 2D, like, I'm not gonna push for it, but I'm also not gonna be like championing it either, because as cool as the fact that they're doing this Gohan and Piccolo situation and all of that jazz is, like, okay, so I want to be honest with you. I haven't talked about manga like that lately, and I really want to talk about these One Piece spoilers because I am still caught up. Y'all know I still love One Piece, so I'm going to talk about these One Piece spoilers for the next chapter. I believe it's 1049. You have been warned. I try to put this a little bit deep into the episode, but yeah, you have been warned. This little segment right here, which always check the description, the timestamps will be there to guide you if you want to just jump over this one, because I got to talk about it. Based off these spoilers, it says, and maybe by the time this video comes out, the full chapter might be out, I don't know. But flashbacks of Kaido as a kid. His country tries to sell him to the Marines, but he escapes. He rampages in Hachinosu, I think it's Blackbeard's Island, and Rocks invites him to his crew. Oh my god, I'm not even trying to be funny, because I know you're probably looking at me like, yo, Finette, why is your facial expression looking like you? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're about to pop one out. But, oh, alone, this is just so exciting. A young Whitebeard appearing. Oh my god. Rock's flashback suddenly ends. Aww. Oh, I wanted more. I want a whole movie. I want a whole spinoff anime. Why isn't there a spinoff anime? Oda must have a contract where, like, nah, y'all not doing that. Like, y'all could do those little gag ones, Kuisuru and Bees, but nothing else. Then Orochi's grandma invites Kaido. Flashback ends with Kaido telling King he knows who Joy Boy is. What? Hey. Back to the inundation. Denjiro hugs Hiyori. Luffy's punch hits Kaido. Flashback continues. King asks, who is it then? Kaido says, the one who will defeat me. King says, then he will not appear. Onigashima falls near the capital. Momo falls. Break next week. Oh my god. And yeah, this just sounds so freaking good. Holy cow, One Piece is greatness. And I know maybe this is just a short thing, but I just wanted to read it to you guys and say that this sounds freaking incredible. Like, I can't even believe the Rocks flashback again. I wish Oda would have just gave us straight, like, that probably would have been the best arc. But then again, he knows what shonen fans usually do when he stays in a flashback too long, because realistically that flashback could have gone forever. And man, I even would be fine if when One Piece ends they do a spin-off series just telling these tales, like seeing Roger's era, like actually instead of going the Boruto route with One Piece, imagine afterwards is just, okay, now we're gonna just straight up show you every piece of Roger's adventure from start to finish. I wonder, like, would you still be down for that? I gotta ask that big question right now. Would you still be down for One Piece after it ends if it's like, hey, next is One Piece, or half piece, so to speak, the story of Roger. Like, and they're just going to show Roger's journey from start to finish, and they're not going to go the Boruto route. I think that that would keep the series afloat for way longer, now that I think about it. Like, don't get me wrong, a Boruto-esque series would be so fire, of, you know, running into Robin years later, Nami years later, Chopper years later, like Luffy's son, or if he's a Marine, you know, you could do the opposite thing, the irony, blah, blah, blah. Like, you could always do that route, or you could just show us Roger adventure, or you could show us Captain Rocks's adventure from the beginning. Like, any one of those stories will keep the original fan base, and you can add the new fan base on top of it, because it's a brand new story, but also all the old fans will get any reference you put in there and will worship it, because One Piece is awesome. Actually, greatness. I take that back. It's not just awesome, it is greatness. That is, of course, if like they have some sort of blueprint from Oda. And even then, without Oda involved, I'm sure the foibles of, like, hey, without the genius behind it, what really happens will definitely come to play. But still, I feel like that would be a better option now that I think about it, opposed to just doing the whole Boruto route. Next, let's jump into the top 10 weekly chart by series, basically the top 10 selling series of the week, not just individual volumes. Number 10, One Piece, still hanging in there, 90,830. Don, that's one that I'm going to get back into real soon, and I don't know what type of video, somehow, some way, maybe I want to get back into it and make a video about it, because I remember that being freaking awesome, and I want to get back into the things that I remember were really awesome. Golden Kamuy in there, 101. Rurouni Kenshin Hokkaido arc, that's crazy that that's still going, 120. Natsume's Book of Friends, 135. Tokyo Revengers back on the scene, 171. Or not back on the scene, it's been because of the newest volume, but you get what I'm saying. Jujutsu Kaisen number 4, 177. And then top 3, very interesting, One Punch Man, 228. It probably dropped a new volume. My Hero number 2, 514. I'm pretty sure that's from the Star and Stripe volume. And Spy Family 604, that anime doing gangbusters for it. And yeah, again, very solid list of like every series on there. First of all, aside from like Natsume's Book of Friends, I know every series on there. Pretty awesome. Once again, letting you guys know that I am going to get back into Don the Don. Shout out to my guy Krista, wherever you at, my guy. Like, every time I think about Don the Don, I think of you, dog. Like, what? If you don't know about my guy, he did that song Makima. Go check that out. And some quick news, just giving you guys a couple of updates. For starters, TV Anime Kingdom season 4, we got a new episode visual, which I'm not caught up on the Kingdom anime, but this looks kind of cool. But again, Kingdom is like the pretty much almost like the grandfather now at this point of the CG thingy-majig. Like, oh my god, imagine if Boruto would have been kingdomized. Like, can we call it kingdomized now? But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that they started adding in more of 2D animation to Kingdom, but yeah. Then also a little update here that I really wanted to share with you guys is the Seven Deadly Sins Four Nights of the Apocalypse anime that we talked about it being announced. Now we got a clearer visual of this one, and I wanted to look at it. Again, that's the main character in the front, and then in back of him is Meliodas. But I'm not gonna lie, I'm so skeptical. Like, first of all, the art looks so beautiful on this one, and why does Meliodas look like he's getting shorter? But yeah, the art is so beautiful on this one, but are we gonna get, you know, like what the Seven Deadly Sins season 1 looked like? What studio is going to be attached? Is it going to be a Netflix exclusive? I'd imagine it has to be a Netflix exclusive. I'd imagine if they have any common sense, unless they're just more going the cheaper motto of we don't care, people are going to talk about it, and enough people are going to watch it to get us our, you know, a return on investment. If that's their case, then they might not care and do the whole 3D CG from those, you know, special movies to this. They might just go, or they could recognize that, yo, fans don't want that, and majority of fans are going to fall off. Let's just make a 2D anime and a beautiful one like the very first season. Like, if we could get what season one of the Seven Deadly Sins looked like with Four Nights of the Apocalypse, this would be huge. And I will watch and talk about the living crap out of it. I'll be honest with you, I will. But as it stands right now, I'm glad to get the clearer visual. Meliodas is getting shorter. What the heck? And some people are telling me that, because I'm under the impression, based off like the first chapter and what I've been told, that this is a sequel manga. But some people are saying that this is a prequel. And the way Meliodas is dressed there makes me think it could be a prequel back when he was, you know, before the sins went on the run and all that stuff. Or is this after, like way after? I'm confused. Then let's talk about the conclusion of Jujutsu Kaisen Zero's run in the movie theaters. That is Jujutsu Kaisen Zero anime film to conclude theatrical run on May 29th. After a record-breaking five-month run, which, yeah, I've been in there forever. They were really trying to go for that number one spot. That kicked off on December 24th last year. It was announced today that Jujutsu Kaisen Zero will finally depart Japanese theaters May 29th. Which is interesting. They're giving like a little bit of a breather room, because then Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie will be released on Blu-ray DVD September 21st, 2022. So that's the little gap that they're leaving in between the theater run and that. But yeah, they trod it, lad. I think, what is it? They probably know that realistically, they're not going to be able to go up any more spots on the rankings of like the biggest movie of all time, biggest anime film, all that stuff. They probably recognize like that's probably out of our grasp at this particular point to go up anymore. So let's just end it here. We had an incredible run. And while Jujutsu Kaisen Zero didn't do what Demon Slayer did, which ultimately I'm starting to feel more so like a lot of everything that's happened with the manga industry following Demon Slayer is partially a result of the explosion of Demon Slayer. I feel like Demon Slayer put a lot of people onto anime and manga, and maybe some of them, they recognized that it wasn't for them, or they fell out of it or whatever. But I think Demon Slayer gave a trickle effect to the anime and manga industry very recent, with, you know, everything with season one and whatnot. And the industry didn't realize at the time that, yo, 90% of this shit is because everybody is loving Demon Slayer. They're finding out more and more about anime and manga. At the very least, it's an interesting idea, and I do think that that benefited Jujutsu Kaisen, because hey, like, a big dark shonen did massive in theaters. Let's put another big dark shonen in there and see what happens. And it performed. And I'll probably buy it on Blu-ray as well, because I really enjoyed that movie. And God, that original cast was so fire. And Yuta's such a boss. Okay, next up, people. Spy Family does it again. We got a couple of pieces of Spy Family news. For starters, apparently, when it comes to my anime list, I don't know if it's still currently this, but Spy Family had achieved the second highest rated anime over on my anime list. And again, that's just weird, because like a lot of these series, like in particular, I believe the number one for the longest time was like Full Metal Alchemist. So how the hell a series that's been rated for years and years, all of a sudden, again, it could be a lot of new anime fans that came on the scene, and maybe that's why, but it's kind of crazy for my anime list to be that highly rated, you know, second highest rated anime. But shout outs to that, because also Spy Family by Tatsuya Endo has 18 million copies in circulation for volumes 1 through 9, essentially averaging 2 million sales a volume. Very, very good. And with the anime out right now, I'm now going to call it that. If not by the end of this year, then definitely within next year, Spy Family is going to easily be, if not top 3, definitely top 5 highest selling manga of the year. Because like, yeah, it's doing gangbusters already. 18 million copies in circulation. How many has it done this year? I want to know. And how many is it going to do, considering the anime is going to be a 2-core run? It looks like Spy Family, you know, now that I think about it, is interesting, right? Let's take a look at this for a second. It's almost as if Shueisha has sectioned off the year for different anime fandoms. And if you're an anime fan of everything, then cool, you win all across the board. But just look at it right now, like the fact that we're in this quote-unquote little drought of what it feels like, they have the Spy Family, you know, the family-oriented anime. You're not going to get distracted from the little cute family anime when ultimately the action anime aren't there. In fact, you're going to gravitate towards it because there is no big punches flying. Like if Chainsaw Man was out right now, nobody would be talking about Spy Family, or at the very least it would nowhere close to be as popular, because everybody would be just riding with the Chainsaw Man hype, like just keeping it real. So what if Shueisha, which it would be smart, has sectioned off the different anime fandoms for different years? Like, yo, we're going to put the more family oriented thing at the top of the year, then mid year we're going to put this one, end of year all the big action stuff, Bleach, My Hero, Chainsaw Man, we're going to throw it there. And they're doing like quarterly releases for different fandoms. While yeah, that makes a lot of sense, also that means that like shonen fans, for example, We're starving until October. Like, when everything comes in October, great. Until then, we're going to be starved out.
Which is not quite bueno, my lord.
And let's take a look at this real quick, courtesy of Jose underscore K regarding World Trigger, because this is how it's done, people. Despite the author's breaks, fans have stayed. And now with the new anime seasons, the series is living its golden age, reaching new heights. Because if you look, or new highs, shall I say, if you look at this, this is how it's done. Slow and Steady has won the race time and time again. And look at the very beginning of it, volume 1, all the way through. It wasn't until after volume 15 that there was a dip, and then volume 19, it started peaking, it went down a little bit, and then now with its latest two volumes, it has risen and continued to rise. World Trigger, shout outs to this author. It's a shame about, you know, all of the health issues, but at the very least, the universe has rewarded this person with a huge amount of a loyal fan base and success, and look at that, that's really, really dope. Then quickly, since we're towards the end of the episode, I could talk about whatever I want. And I want to talk about a little bit of, just a smidge, mate, of hip-hop. Because in case you ain't hear about it, Kendrick Lamar is back. He dropped The Heart Part 5 and also his album. I believe it's Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers as of 5:13 midnight will be out basically Friday the 13th. Is it Friday the 13th? Hold on, let me look. Oh shit, he's coming Friday the 13th. Yo, this is gonna be interesting to see. I didn't realize that Kendrick's dropping. Wow. So Kendrick dropping midnight Friday the 13th. If you haven't heard The Heart Part 5, highly recommend it. It was honestly a masterpiece all the way through. It was just beautiful. Like, of course, everybody's going to talk about the ending, the Nipsey stuff. Personally, that hit me very, very deep. In particular, there was a certain part that when I hear that one, it gets me teary-eyed. But just in general, I love the beauty of the positivity that Kendrick brought with that song. Like, that song is just, it hit different. It spoke to my soul. Shout-outs to that song. And also, this album is, I haven't been this hype for an album since probably last year's Cody from Lloyd Banks, Course of the Inevitable, like that album, which I've still been playing damn near every other day. Like, that was like one of the most anticipated for me, because Banks was, you know, I've been riding with Banks forever. But then when I saw, like, yo, because I was a little skeptical, right, with Kendrick Lamar. Like, the last concert I really went to was the Damn Tour. I went to a concert back in like 2017 or something like that. So that was the last time I went to a concert. It was a beautiful, special moment. I had went with like my sister, and it was an amazing time. So to see Kendrick come around, like, I feel like Kendrick came at the right time right now. He got the album cover out. Very interesting album cover, from the thorns around his head, like, representing Jesus, but also him in, like, the apartment, kind of bringing it back to the beginning, so to speak, of, you know, Section 80, so to speak, you know, if you think about it. And, you know, him with his kid. It's just, honestly, I don't know. This is really the most anticipated I've been for an album, like I said, since Lloyd Banks' album last year. Cole put out a great project. Like, that album was probably the first or second between Lloyd Banks and Cole for last year. Banks was just, you know, more anticipated, but Cole dropping that album, The Off Season, I love that album too. This one, if it continues on of what Kendrick released with The Heart Part 5, and it has this vibe, and Kendrick is, you know, giving that real shit, so to speak, oh my god, I can't wait. And wow, although it is very interesting that he is, you know, leaving TDE. I mean, TDE is going, you know, in an interesting direction. You know, they got a room full of mirrors. Very excited about that. Like, yo, dog, you got Daylight, Ichiban, Don. Y'all got some heavy hitters on that one. So even though, you know, Kendrick is seemingly leaving, they have some really high quality acts over there as well. So they're going to be all right. So yeah, just support Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers by Kendrick Lamar, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a very hefty and interesting project. Dropping Friday the 13th, PG Lang. I can't wait to see what's going down. Yo, imagine Kendrick goes a different direction. Like, a lot of people are expecting, like, he's gonna go after Drake. He's gonna finish off Cole. You know, he's really coming for it. Imagine he has, like, the first record is him, Drake, and Cole. That would shatter the internet. I ain't gonna lie. I think the positivity of that would be more impactful than the he's coming for them. I think it could be a massacre, so to speak, a Friday the 13th of bringing the big headed. You know what I'm saying? What do you call them? The three headed monster? Big headed. They not big. Well, Drake might be a little big-headed, I guess. Maybe a little bit, because, you know, that's his stilo. But, like, the other two seemingly grounded, although Cole lately been talking some shit, but I don't know. It's so weird. I never realized how much, and maybe it's because of the experiences I've had, and maybe that's a whole testament to the type of artist that Kendrick Lamar is. While I've loved a lot of Drake music, I've loved a lot of Cole music. Cole is a really fucking awesome person from, you know, what he's done in terms of inspiring people. But Kendrick, it wasn't until Damn that I really got into him. And that concert, seeing what he did there, the performance he put on, and I recognizing this man is an artist's artist. Like, and then the message and everything, like, yo, I can't fucking wait, dog. Midnight, I'm gonna just be refreshing for that shit. I'm not paid to promote this, honestly. I just love great music, and TDE has developed one of the greatest artists of our time, Kendrick Lamar. Hopefully this album lives up to the expectations. We will see. And last but not least, Sony plans to increase PS5 shipments for 50%, lads. So if you've been down bad, like, oh dear lord, me heart can't take it, mate, I fucking need me a little bit of PlayStation 5. Here's your opportunity, because there's... Okay, let me just stop. This is a good thing, I guess. I mean, honestly, I feel like the PlayStation 5, in terms of what it has to offer, is like the worst of all the consoles in recent times. Like, just being honest with you, there hasn't been anything that has been like the exclusive to make me go, oh my god, it's... Like, I've had it sitting there for a ill minute. I use it for, like, you know, whatever, like, social media. Like, look, I got YouTube pulled up on it as I'm on YouTube. YouTubeception, baby. But, yeah, 50%. So, if you wanted a PlayStation 5, more than likely, it's going to be a lot more accessible. Unless the scouters figure out a way to ruin that shit, too. But, yeah, people, that's all we have for this one. Let me know what you guys think. Most important story, favorite story, anything that I didn't talk about. Maybe an album that I didn't talk about, something, you know, music-related. I'm definitely going to be talking a lot more music here, other places. Like, you're going to get a lot more music talk from me here soon, because I love talking about music. And Kendrick, I ain't gonna lie, the artistic expression that he delivered on that song, if he delivers that with that album, it's gonna be crazy. But also, it's inspired me to, like, yo, do you, be you, dog. Like, yeah. But that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching. I'm Fineb World, and as always, people, have an awesome day, and remember the golden rule: anime and manga for life, bye. Have an awesome day. Peace in. And you guys just watched another episode of Whatever It Is. By the way, people, I got you here quickly, if you don't mind, hit that subscribe and that bell to get all notifications. We talk about anime and manga around these parts and a whole bunch of other really cool stuff. So yeah, do that. You want me? What I know. So just go to find me.